President Bush is in South Korea, the second stop in his three-nation tour of East Asia. He is meeting with President Kim Dae-jung, who won the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts to mend relations with North Korea. But Kim's policy of engagement has suffered several major setbacks lately, most notably when President Bush named North Korea as part of his axis of evil. From Seoul, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
Kim Dae-jung calls it the sunshine policy. Instead of confronting North Korea, as his predecessors did, Kim has embraced the communist regime, figuratively and literally. In June 2000, the South Korean president made a historic visit to Pyongyang, the North Korean capital. He was greeted at the airport by throngs of ecstatic North Koreans, including the reclusive North Korean leader himself, Kim Jong-il. The two Kims drank champagne and talked of ending half a century of mutual mistrust and hostility. Soon after, several dozen families, divided for 50 years, were briefly, tearfully reunited. Kim Dae-jung was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. But these days, President Kim's sunshine policy is engulfed by dark clouds. North Korea has suspended peace talks with the South. A railroad linking the two Koreas has failed to materialize. The family reunions, they've ground to a halt. Yet South Korea continues to help prop up the North Korean regime by providing hundreds of millions of dollars in food aid and other economic incentives. Many South Koreans say enough is enough.
Having helped them in that way, we should have gotten something in return.
Park Shin-il is a spokesman for the Grand National Party, South Korea's main opposition party.
By providing economic cooperation, we'd like to have some assurance about tension reduction or some peaceful measures coming from North Korea. But it seems to me that this government has failed in getting some reciprocal response from North Korea.
Park says that if, as the polls suggest, his party wins the presidential elections in December, it will continue to engage North Korea, but with a much more hard-nosed approach. One reason the negotiations have proved so difficult is because the two Koreas are so different. They may share a common language, a common culture, but economically, they are light years apart. North Korea cannot feed its people. South Korea has Starbucks, like this three-story monstrosity in Seoul. It's just one sign of the amount of wealth amassed here in the world's 10th largest economy. Sipping a grande latte, it's easy to forget that only 30 miles away, North Korea has 500,000 troops deployed day and night. Younger South Koreans hardly give it a second thought. But those old enough to remember the Korean War, people like veteran Hyung Jae-hyung, are much less willing to trust North Korean leader Kim Jong-il.
We really didn't expect much to begin with. He only does things when they are to his benefit, his means or desires. What does he think? We're stupid? No.
Hyung says President Bush was right on target when he included North Korea in the so-called Axis of Evil. Analysts say that by demonizing North Korea, President Bush has further undermined Kim Dae-jung's sunshine policy. But President Kim stands by his policy of engaging the North. Judging by the opinion polls, President Kim's approval ratings have slipped to a new low, another blow for a man once known as the Nelson Mandela of South Korea. Like Mandela, Kim spent years in his country's prisons defying repressive governments. But Lee Chung-min, a professor at Seoul's Yonsei University, says these days Kim Dae-jung more closely resembles another historical figure, Mikhail Gorbachev.
Here he was, the peacemaker who ended the Cold War, who ended 50 years of hostilities with the West and the U.S., and yet domestically he was very unpopular. I think in that sense there's a semblance of that occurring here in South Korea today.
History, says Chong, is likely to remember Kim Dae-jung as the man who began the process of reconciliation on the Korean Peninsula, but at a heavy political cost. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Seoul.